Welcome to the Discovering Your Future podcast, hosted by Jarvis and Lucy from FCC's audio production program. In this podcast, we interview professionals to scope how they navigated their career. Through listening, you will pick up tips about developing professional networks, learn ways to manage your career, and discover pathways to finding purpose in life. It's never too early to begin planning your career path, and it's never too late to make a change. So please, kick back and listen in.
This episode will come in two parts and feature Tara Julian. In this part, we will scratch the surface of Tara's career journey and go into how honesty can support an individual in their career.
Hello there. Welcome back to another episode of the Discovering Your Future podcast. In today's episode, we have a remarkable individual. She's an expert traveler, a community-driven doer, and a lover of dogs. A true master in her field, she now resides as the human resources manager at Phoenix Meccano. Tara Julian.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's really a pleasure. So why don't we start from the very beginning? Tell us a little bit about your career journey. Where do you think it all started for you, and how did you end up where you are now?
Well, my journey started in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was a student at the University of Pittsburgh, and I worked at a hotel to kind of have extra money while I went to school. And I was studying to be a speech pathologist. So when I got to the end of my bachelor's degree and applied for graduate school, I was sad to leave the hotel. I knew I probably couldn't keep up with working and going to school. And I went and talked to the HR department, and I said, I'm really sad. I've enjoyed this time so much in hospitality and learned so much from all of you. I wish there was an opportunity for me to stay, but heading on to graduate school. And they said, interesting, I'd like to talk to you more about that. Can you come back tomorrow? And when I met with the HR manager and director, they were interested that I had said, of all the departments I know about, I like HR, but you're such a small department, how would I ever get my foot in the door? And they said, we might have a chance. We could bring you in on an internship. We have a need for some extra work to get done. Would you be interested in that? So I took the chance. I took the leap, put graduate school on hold, actually, and then came to find out the HR manager was pregnant and needed to leave for maternity leave. Right. So it was fortuitous, and I was able to stay. They eventually made me a supervisor. And she decided not to return from her leave. And my career continued from there to an HR manager and then on to other hotels. I even moved to California and have experience in California and now in Maryland doing HR.
Yeah, that's really a great story. I think my favorite part about it is that it was almost unexpected, you know, to have that moment happen, to be like, I really enjoyed this, you know, I wish I could continue doing it. And they were like, hold that thought.
Yeah.
I think that's an important thing to know in any sort of career, that sometimes a moment like that can be all you need to, you know, get that ball rolling. It could be just a, hey, I really enjoy doing this. And then someone is like, well,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look back at moments like that that have happened along my career. And even at that moment, if they had not had a particular position for me then, I think that we would have followed back up. You know, I was still going to work there part-time, very limited. I feel like they would have been a connection to keep. And if they knew of another position, maybe at a different hotel, it could have sparked some conversation like, well, there are some other options for you, or here's some other people we know. So I think honesty and being willing to be vulnerable and open yourself up to other people can really open those doors then.
Yeah, I think it's important for our audience and like FCC students and all students across to understand like how you had to open yourself to other opportunities outside of your plan. Like, mm-hmm. you know, putting your master's degree to the side may sound crazy to somebody, but it's like the risk that you took that, and it's the chance that you took that opened the door to all the opportunities and the next level. I mean, who would have known that somebody would get pregnant and mm-hmm. take leave and,
yeah.
open that opportunity for you to get hired and become a manager, move to Cali. I mean, the domino effect is real after that one chance you take, potentially from not going, potentially from not chasing a master's degree at that moment.
Right.
It starts there at taking that risk, and you never know what comes after that.
And I have to say, too, I picked that place to work on purpose because I love to travel.
Right.
So hospitality seemed natural to me. I loved that I would meet people traveling and be able to tell them about the city where I lived. But I also loved I would get discounts to go travel.
Right.
That was a very real, you know, tangible benefit for me.
Mm-hmm.
So especially as a college student, didn't have much money to travel, but
yeah.
really enjoyed, you know, that perk. So I chose that even as a part-time position on purpose based around what I like to do and, you know, what inspires me, which was travel. And I think it just has led me in, you know, a great position. I wasn't scared to take that Y in the road
yeah.
because I was following, like, my true inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so something that, you know, we've discussed before is, and you said it in one of your responses there, is honesty and how that looks in a career. And so do you think that honesty is an important tool for individuals to have, specifically when it comes to self-reflection? How has honesty looked in your career?
Yeah, self-reflection is the hardest, I think, way to be honest, right? Sometimes
right.
sometimes we're hard on ourselves, but I think sometimes we're also not honest about what we're capable of or where we what we are good or bad at, our strengths and weaknesses. But I definitely think that being honest, there's nothing like it because it builds trust between people. So whether we're colleagues at work or, you know, a boss and their coworker, you know, you need to build that rapport with somebody. And if they know that you're always going to give them a true and honest reaction, I think that that helps build that trust.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I mean, do you have anything to
yeah,
say on
that? I would agree 100% that honesty is, with yourself and with others, is one of the biggest assets and values that you can carry on a day-to-day basis. I mean, a lot of times when you're in a career field, 9 times out of 10, your boss or your teacher or whatever the case may be is going to be honest with you. That's why you get ratings and like reflections and evaluations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even on a test, you're going to get an honest grade on your test based on your answers.
Right.
And that should show like how important it is in the world outside of school and outside of work and outside of, you know, professional relations. All of it is incorporated and builds trust. It builds kind of like build you up
mm-hmm.
to another level, get you other positions or higher in the up the chain. There's too many benefits to count when it comes to honesty, and self-reflection is part of what helps you realize where you, like you said, strengths and weaknesses, where you may need to improve or where you can shine and show those skills instead of maybe holding them back from you know, being showcased, you know? I think that's important too.
I was just talking to a group of 8th graders. I was at a career day here in Frederick. And one of the things I always like to bring up is it's important to know what you like, but it's also important to know what you don't like. And so in my career path, when I was at the University of Pittsburgh, I had the option, as I was exploring speech pathology, to go do an internship at the hospital there and follow the speech pathologist. And after about 2 semesters, I had had enough. And I knew I did not want to work in a hospital. It was not for me. The people were wonderful, and they're doing amazing things, but I just didn't like that setting. And my next internship was at a rehab institute working with children with disabilities, and that was amazing to me. That was a different fire, like, you know, and going every day never made me sad. You know, I was always excited to see everybody, and I also liked that you saw the kids regularly and saw their progression. You could share in their goals as they reached their goals. So that was something I really learned about myself. The hospital, I didn't like it because you often didn't see a patient more than once.
Right.
So you never knew, did they improve? Did they get better? Where are they now? And so that was something I was thinking of. Then if I followed speech, I definitely wanted to work in more of a school setting. with children preferably, but children or adults, where there was that follow-up and that connection with them.
Yeah. I think what's the word? Tangibility, I believe. Yeah, like having that. I mean, personally, I think that's something very strong to have. I like to work something and see the product. I like to
almost like groom it or like take care of it.
Of improving. Yeah, and I think that's so important in any career. And some careers aren't like that. And you know, some people work better that way. To you know, not really to disconnect themselves from the things that they do or otherwise. But I personally believe that that's a very strong thing to have in a career, to do something and see what it does.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Something you said there about when you got out of the hospital and you ended up going somewhere else to you know, that internship, you talked about how excited you were to go there. And I think that's very important, to be passionate and happy with what you're doing. And I believe we talked about a little about, you know, there was a time where you weren't really happy with the commute that was going on, or you weren't really happy with what you were doing. Can you tell us a little bit about those times and how you came out of those?
Sure. So when we moved to LA, my husband and I, we worked at a different hotels, and I then moved over to a larger hotel, but for the commute. And in LA, the commute really can add up.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so after about a year of an hour and a half commute each way and really long hours, I just knew I was burnt out. And so the pluses didn't outweigh the minuses for me. And I had to be honest about that, even though it was a great position. It was a really nice hotel property, and I really enjoyed what I did there. I had to make a change. So I was very methodical, I guess, in waiting to find a good move, what's the right move. And I ended up going to work for a nonprofit very close to my house, and I stayed there for 9 years because it was amazing. So, you know, again, what you like and what you don't like are super important to think about and be honest with yourself, and then start to make your choices based on that. You know, not necessarily a knee-jerk reaction, but just, you know, a planned progression. Well, what am I going to do next? You know, this was good or this was bad. I want to change that, so now I'm going to go, you know, do something else.
Yeah, at the time of during your commute and everything like that, was it just you and your husband? Was there any pets involved or any?
We had a pet. Yeah, no, I didn't have my son at that time. But it literally, when people talk about burnout, that was my burnout moment. After a year, I just was at the end with, you know, needed to sleep, wasn't having enough downtime. And never was, I think, having that chance to just really relax and decompress. And, you know, so that it was really the stopping point, you know, for me. It was like, enough is enough. I have to make a change.
I can't imagine if you had, like, your son at that point or any more responsibilities at that point. Because, I mean, just the hour and a half commute alone is very exhausting. I mean, I don't know how many times you've driven, like, even just a three-hour trip, but that...
Yeah.
Will exhaust you. You might take a nap during that trip, and you have to be awake driving the whole time. So I bet that was probably, yeah, one of the worst burnouts you probably experienced.
And when you work in a hotel, it's very long hours, or can be, especially because it never closes. So there's always work to do, and there's always people there. It's not like everybody's going home and you're alone working at your desk, right. You know, and feel motivated like, well, everybody else left. Why didn't I leave? There's always people there. So, you know, you could get there as early as, like, I would get in sometimes at 7 a.m. and may not leave till 8 p.m.
Wow.
And, you know, and then to drive home. Now, the commute was better when I left late.
You're right.
It was an hour instead of an hour and a half. But, you know, you get home, you eat something, you go to bed, repeat the next day. Yeah. And that just...
That's still a long time, though. An hour is not like... you know, a 45-minute difference. Yeah. It's not even a 45-minute difference, you know? That's still a long time. So I think the nonprofit became a very good opportunity that clearly showed how much you were passionate about that over driving an hour and a half every day there and back. So that's 3 hours out of your day every day. Like,
and it was important to me to not make the change only because of the commute, because obviously there's lots of places to work that would have been nearby, but it was very motivating to go work for a place that was a behavioral health company and supported children and, you know, foster care as well. And to go, you know, I felt like it aligned with kind of what I had studied in school, in college, and I did like, you know, rehabilitation and working with children. So it was nice to work with people who had those same values and really supported that. And the company had been in Long Beach for quite a long time. It was in Long Beach, California. And so it just is, you know, really rewarding when you work somewhere like that, where people you meet that are aware of our services or have received our services are so thankful, and that, you know, you're doing something good for the community.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah. And something you kind of brought up there about that job that you ended up transferring to, and how that used the education that you had previously before you got into this kind of career field. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, let me ask you this. How do you feel about education and how that transfers to a career? Do you think that traditional education is the way to go for your career field, or do you think learning on the job reaps more benefits?
That's a great question. I would say for most people that you need to pursue a career you enjoy. So I don't think you need to have the education first. I think you need to explore first what's for you. And you can do the education along with it, or potentially do it afterwards. One of the things I really loved about the hospitality industry, and actually in manufacturing where I currently work, you don't have to have a degree to get started. And there were so many stories of managers I worked with in the hospitality industry that started as bellmen or bussers, banquet people, and then worked their way up to food and beverage managers or directors, front desk managers. There were people at the company that owned the hotel where I worked who also did the same thing. They started as hourly employees, worked their way through school, I'm sure eventually went on for master's degrees in business as well, and became directors and was the CEO.
Wow.
And, you know, but started as a bellman, started at an hourly position and worked their way up through the hotel industry. And in manufacturing, it's very similar. You can start in an hourly position, and then if that is your passion, you can explore that. You can, you know, come and start classes for, you know, engineering or finance, you know, HR, whatever it may be.
Do you think you have to like the industry over the position sometimes? Like, it seems like a lot of these people, like, you know, they started, let's say, as a bellman, which is way different from becoming a CEO or a hotel manager. Obviously, not that relatable as far as your day-to-day work or activities. But do you think having a passion for the industry can be a little more important than maybe the position itself? Because, like, for example, like, we're audio people, we're into music production and stuff. Sometimes you got to take a position. They say take a position as the trash dude or the assistant at the radio station, though. You know, like, you're in the right building. You just got to work your way up.
That's a great example.
Do you think passion for the industry over the position maybe?
I do. Okay. Yeah, because when I worked at the hotel, I was in the health club, and I could have just gone in, worked my shift, and left. But I was able to volunteer to, you know, be on the safety team, and they had a big quality assurance team. And so I met managers that way. I met people from other departments that way. I also learned a lot more about the business and what other people do besides just what I saw day to day. But it definitely helped me. If I had only stayed in my little niche, I wouldn't have been necessarily offered a chance at a management and training program.
That's a great thing. Yeah. Wow, that is amazing. I almost feel a little inspired because, like, I never even, sometimes you don't think to, like, necessarily explore where you could go or a building, the industry that you like, because you might just be able to find something that's in the same building before you even get the education and spend years, you know, trying to get a bachelor's in something that you may not even like the industry for it. But a lot of times you'll see, like, there's opportunities at the building you want to work at doing something that may be unrelatable, but will take you right up that ladder if you stay there long enough and show loyalty, show honesty, integrity.
Make those connections.
Make the connections.
And you get to see what's work like there, right? Are the people happy there? Do they enjoy what they're doing? How long are their hours? You know, you would get to see all that, like, with your own eyes. Versus kind of what you imagine it would be, because they can be very different. And it's sad when, you know, you talk to people who went to school for a particular thing and think that they were going to love it and then get out there and they don't love it. So, you definitely need to try a whole myriad of things. But I think if you can get your foot in the door, even if it is as being the janitor at a radio station, why not, right? Because you're going to meet the station director and you're going to, you know, meet the DJs and you're going to have a chance to just become part of that community.
Right, right. That's community, that industry and community kind of go together now. Think about it.
It's very big. Yeah, I mean, it does make a difference that you get to know the people and that you like the people. I can't say I haven't liked the people I work with, but like I said, the hospital was great people. But it just was not for me, and I felt that vibe. Like, and so you have to know that. Kind of like when you go shop for an apartment. You know the neighborhood. You get a feel for it, you know. Yeah. Do I like it here? Is it shady? you know? So I feel like, you know, it's very much like that when you're looking for a job.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great, I guess you could call it a metaphor. But no, I mean, that's a great point. Like, you know, it's... And that kind of ties back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, you didn't just want to change your job just because of the commute. It was more than that. It was, you know, you had to look around and you had to see what you think you could fit well in. And thankfully you did, you know, 9 years. I mean,
it was amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess to stay on that topic a little bit of, like, you know, education and learning, like, what do you think about, like, building upon, like, learning, like applying yourself or building upon the learning that you have? Because, you know, so, like, I guess for you specifically, you know, how did your education help in the career that you're in right now? And you've said a few of those examples, and
So I think that obviously getting a bachelor's degree is really helpful because everybody recognizes that and it's a milestone. So I feel like you could go into a lot of different career opportunities and they accept what your degree is. It doesn't have to always be in the field that you're being hired for. So obviously I went into HR and I didn't have a business focus. Mine was the communication science. I think that you learn things in college that are important as a whole.
Right.
And so it is good. And it will be, it will become in certain careers a stopping point for you if you don't pursue additional education. So whether, like, for speech, I had to go to get my graduate degree because you had to get state certified. And they only recognize the master's degree program as well as hours. You usually have to do internship hours, supervised. And funny enough, looking back at that, that was part of why my decision was a little easier to take the Y in the road because of my love of travel and wanting to live somewhere else eventually. Hotels offered that. Hotels, in fact, promote that. If you become a manager and they want to move you and you say, absolutely, put me in California, then they'll send you. Whereas if I did speech and only had my certificate in Pennsylvania, it would have been much harder to move. I could have done it, but it wasn't as easy. So it just was a natural progression of what my interests are and where I desired to be, kind of where I dreamed to go.
Yeah.
And it made sense, even though it seemed like a big change,
right.
A big why in the road. It really wasn't when everything fell into place. And I knew also that I had viable career ahead of me and that lots of opportunities. I didn't have to even stay with the same company. I could have worked for other hotel companies across the world.
So you achieved your master's degree in the process of...
Nope. I never did get the master's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know.
But
as
we were talking about education, if I wanted to do speech therapy, right. I had to get it.
Right.
Whereas it wasn't mandatory for me in order to continue my HR career.
Okay, got you. But you did have like training and education outside of necessarily a degree path or like a degree plan though, right?
Yeah. So besides my time actually hands-on in, you know, working in hotels, there is training that they provide to where you go sometimes and you work at another hotel and you're kind of learning from a new director. And so that was a lot of hands-on learning.
Yeah, like supervised, like, yeah, I think you mentioned supervised internships. Like,
yeah.
They're
kind of
like evaluating you on the job and seeing if you're able to do this or do that task. And yeah, that makes sense. I think people underestimate how much education you get off of the internships, off of the in-field exercises, off of even if you have to volunteer at times. those are resume worthy and those trainings are very important to your career path. And I just wish, I will hope that including myself, all students and young adults will take heed to those type of opportunities and trainings and, you know, being open to travel and stuff. Like those are what really get you those next level opportunities and trainings and things that are going to take you to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
I think people got to be open to that. So I like how your story reflects that as a success story, because you know a lot of people going to be afraid to be from Frederick or a small town even and just up and move to California, but they don't know what that might do for their career.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They don't know how beneficial that might look in the long run.
Yeah, and that brings up a really and this is something we talked about before, you know, in our discussions.
Thank you for listening to the first part of episode 2 with Tara Julian. In part 2 of this episode, we will discuss how timing plays into a career, and we will go more in depth about Tara's career journey. Thank you for listening. We hope this episode has inspired you and given you direction in your career. We appreciate your continued support. If you have any questions or topic proposals, feel free to leave them in the comments. Don't forget to visit the FCC Career Services website at www.frederick.edu/careers for helpful information on discovering your career.